You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, everyone. I am Martina Cunha, and you're listening to Backstage Talk. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I am excited today to have over a writer and composer of musicals. I have Jeffrey Schmelken with me. He is a musical theater writer, composer, and music director based in New York City. His work has been presented around New York, including 54 Below and the Midtown International Theater Festival. Under his belt, he has four shows, one that will be premiering off-Broadway tomorrow, and that is really exciting. Jeffrey, welcome to Backstage Talk. It's an honor to have you.
Thank you so much. Are you kidding? I'm so glad to be here. It's an honor that you asked me to do this.
tell us a little bit about yourself. Introduce yourself for our listeners.
Yeah, sure. Hi, I'm Jeffrey. I write music and I write musicals. I got my Bachelor of Science in Music Composition at Hofstra University. And from there, I really, put my own emphasis on musical theater. Your intro covered it all. I've done some work for festivals and at 54 Below. Living it up here in New York City, trying to make it all work. It's a little challenging at times, but we love it. I couldn't imagine myself doing anything else.
It's a nice challenge to tackle. Like, I mean, it's New York.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. But
how did you end up in the entertainment industry?
That is a good question. So when I was 6 years old, I have an older sister. I have two sisters, but my older sister, when I was 6 years old, she was, super Broadway fan. Still is, not so much anymore, but still passionate about it. And I remember I saw Wicked right when it opened. That A minor that opens the show, that's really, I remember in that moment just feeling so in awe of theater and the whole process and the whole industry. But when I was six and then very young, I was sort of told that theater isn't a viable career option. So then I come from a medical family. I thought, I'm going to be a doctor. I was very passionate about genetics, and maybe I'd be an endocrinologist or something in medicine. But then I realized it's probably better for the patient if I'm not a doctor. In middle school and high school, theater and early music had been more of just a passion, a hobby. And then it wasn't until the end of high school that I realized, oh, maybe I can go into this, as my career. And that's really how it started.
And that was the beginning of it all. Started with Wicked, going through high school, and music was the road to go. Not medicine.
Yes. Not medicine.
So you went to college. You got your degree in music and music composition, right?
Yes.
And from the start, you knew that it was going to be musical theater, not anything else.
Yeah, that's true. When I went into it, I had already had my first musical, Furniture the Musical, premiere at the Midtown International. Natalie Leifson wrote the book, I music. So from the end of high school, so the summer after senior year is when we premiered the show. So that's really what solidified for me. I'm going to go to school for music. But then from doing that show, I realized like I want to do theater. But the amazing thing is that my degree is not in musical theater, it's in music. So I learned all these different techniques and all these different influences and backgrounds and history and all these different ways of looking at music, not just Western tonal. And, you know, I think that having that education and having all those different perspectives on music really aided in, you know, the composition process for anything, and especially in theater.
I love it. Let's talk a little bit about your past projects before we go deep into the show that's premiering off Broadway. You have three other musicals. They are titled Untitled Time, Furniture, and What's Wrong with the World, right?
Yep.
Talk to us a little bit about Untitled Time, then Furniture, then What's Wrong with the World.
Yeah, so Untitled Time is, I guess, what you could call my passion project. It's a show that's very personal to me. I wrote the score, the book, the lyrics, all of it. And it really tackles mental health. I feel that in a lot of mainstream culture, there's not glorification, but sensationalization of mental health issues. And while I do recognize that that is getting better slowly, I really wanted to put a piece out that's more accurate. I feel that when we start accurate conversations, that's really when we'll, you know, start to get more accurate answers and reduce stigma and hopefully save lives. Yeah.
I love it. And how about Furniture?
Furniture is, so I was on Skype with my friend Natalie in high school. She said to me, wouldn't it be funny if I wrote a monologue about a chair that's in love with its human, but the human doesn't know? And I was like, yeah, like, go for it. And she wrote this monologue and I was like, that's amazing. And eventually we developed it and we turned it into a musical all about sentient furniture. When people ask about it, I say, think like Toy Story, but R-rated. And yeah, so that's a really fun one.
And What's Wrong with the World?
What's Wrong with the World was my show at 54 Below. I moved to Manhattan in the summer of 2018. I'd been living here every summer while I wasn't at school. And I had a job lined up, but then last minute, you know, it fell through. I found myself in New York with nothing to do. So I got a different job that supported me. But then I was like, I want to do a show. I still want to do a show. I was supposed to be working on a different show. So very, very quickly, probably too quickly, I wrote the song cycle, What's Wrong with the World? And we produced it in a month at 54 Below. And it was a lot of fun, just, you know, having something to work on and working with my friends. It's always a nice time when you're making theater and making art with people that you really enjoy. So yeah, and that's really about it's self-reflection. It goes into topics of it's a very raunchy show, probably the most that I've done to date, but it goes into all these different areas of life, and then it closes out with what's wrong with the world, like that's the question, and then the last song is called Is It Me, and yeah, but it's a another very, very fun project.
Okay, for furniture, one of your friends had a monologue and you worked towards that, right? For the other two shows, what was the beginning of the project? How did you start writing the songs? Did you start it with lyrics or with music? What's your like working process?
I get this question a lot, actually, and it's different for every project. Smaller, actually, it's different for every song. So for Untitled Time, I actually had written a short story when I was in middle school, and then over the years, it grew to a play, and then it grew to a short musical, and eventually now it's a 2 hour 45 minute. Fully orchestrated show that we're trying to get up somewhere, but the process it really depends. Sometimes I start with a little musical hook and I expand it, and then I add lyrics and go from there and make edits. Other times, for the most recent show, actually, that's very lyric heavy. I'm a composer. I don't claim to be a lyricist, but we do it. And so I really started with the lyrics for my most recent works, and then I go from there, where I'll like make little voice memos of like, ooh, like this on this word or this fragment, this should sound like this, and then I'll go and I'll notate it. And then play around with harmonies, and then the fun part of really using my composition background, going through, like, ooh, I want like an implied dominant here, or it's just the whole process of painting a score. It's art.
It's like building a Lego. You have a
Yeah.
lot of pieces and you just mix them up.
Yep.
Okay,
Choosing
so
the best ones.
yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about the show you are taking off Broadway. It's called The Parts I Keep Inside. What does the musical sound like?
What does it sound like? Ooh, come hear it. Just kidding. It's very contemporary musical theater. It's very introspective. It's probably the most personal work I've done. Talking about the parts I keep inside, like, it could be a little ambiguous, but no, it's the things I keep inside that I don't tell anybody in a musical.
And what does this story cover? Talk a little bit about the characters, the storyline.
I guess each character, they're not really named, but each one is a different part of myself. And so really the conception of this work came right out of COVID. I wanted to put something out there that, like right now we're missing human connection and we're missing contact. And I once had a conversation with Sam Karner, and we were talking about building songs from a story point of view. And he was explaining to me that the more specific you can get with your details, the more an audience will relate. So I got super specific. And the show does talk about my own experiences, but the goal and the hope is that anybody listening will be able to listen to these stories and listen to this music and say, oh, maybe I wasn't in this exact same situation, but I completely understand the feeling. And it tackles embarrassment and vulnerability and a little romance and a little heartbreak and a little bit of everything. I literally wrote down a list of things I don't tell anybody, things that I'm a little embarrassed to tell people, things that I, you know, want to keep secret. And then I turned each one into a song. You know, some fiction here and there, as, you know, artistic liberty. But yeah. Generally, yeah, that's really, really it. And you can track really a character arc through each song. And does that answer your question?
It does, and I love it. And I'm actually excited to listen to it and to see it. How has been the journey to taking this show to Off-Broadway?
It's been scary but amazing. I have a friend, Ry Myers, who recently started his own production company called Ry Entertainment. And he's really passionate about this project. I was talking with him and he was like, yeah, like let's produce this. He's been amazing producing this. You know, I've been self-producer for many of my previous works, but it's really, really nice to sort of pass those reins over to Ry. So after we chatted about it, I think I only had like two or three songs written. Mm-hmm. And you know, this was like June 2020, you know, pandemic's not going away anytime soon. So I really, really had the luxury, which I actually hadn't had before, to take my time writing these songs, making them exactly how I wanted them to mm-hmm. sound. You know, the pandemic was and still is awful for everybody. I don't want to say that it was a luxury. It was not. But silver lining, I did have that time that I normally wouldn't have had. Mm-hmm. So I ended up finishing all the music, and then I sent it to Ry, and he loved it, which was amazing for me. I wasn't expecting that, and just how passionate he is about the work. It's really great to see, great to hear. So he reached out to many of his contacts, and he booked us at the Triad Theater, which is an off-Broadway space, which is amazing and super exciting. As soon as that contract was signed, we went right into casting. We went right into preparing all the materials. We went right into marketing. Once the time and date was set, we hit the ground running. We were like, all right, here's what we have to do. Let's get it done.
I love it. So you're premiering this week.
Yes.
When, where, how much is this show? Like, you just mentioned the theater, but will you have a limited run, or how is that going to work? So our listeners can get a bit of information if they're in New York and they want to see the show.
Yeah, of course. So right now we are a one night only performance. You know, coming right out of COVID, we really have to gauge audience and every little aspect of the industry to see, you know, like to. Are we going to take this for a limited run? Are we going to? It's all up in the air. Things that we're discussing. So right now it's a one night only thing. I'll let you know if that changes. But we will be July 31st, 7 p.m. Tickets are on sale at triadnyc.com. We have $30 tickets and a 2-drink minimum. It'll be a nice, enjoyable, hopefully, experience for everyone involved, everyone in the audience, and we're so excited. We're actually going to be one of the first shows to be back at 100% capacity. When Ryan and I started talking about this, we were like, we don't know when this is going to be. Is this going to be in March? Is this going to be, in 2023? Like, when are we doing this? And we decided that as soon as it's feasible to be back at 100% capacity, that is when we are doing this show. And it's a welcome back in a sense, to theater lovers, theater goers, theater makers. And we're so excited to be able to share it.
And after the show, will we get a cast recording or will you record it for further promotion? People outside New York, outside the States, will be able to see it for a fee or something?
So that actually currently it's something that we're discussing. I can't really say too much on that quite yet, but we are very hopeful that we're going to get recordings, and we want to make it as accessible as we can for people who aren't maybe not in a place where they can come to New York or yeah, we're making everything happen, and I will I'll keep you up to date on that.
Please do. Well, Jeffrey, this has been an amazing conversation. Thank you so much. It's been great knowing you, knowing your work. Listeners, if you are in New York, please go support The Parts I Keep Inside. I will post everything, any information you need to know in the podcast description. Jeffrey, before we go, one last question. Well, two actually, for you. Top five musical theater composer influences.
Oh, that is a good question. All right. In no particular order. Stephen Schwartz, definitely. Because Wicked, first show. And just good music. Anything that he writes, I connect with it so much. Tom Kitt, love Tom Kitt.
Yeah, I love it too.
His Time Changes are really what get me. Jason Robert Brown, Jeanine Tesori, and oh man, there's so many.
One more.
Oh, one more. Yikes. Hold on, let me. Still a little early. Let me look at my books. Who do I have? Beethoven, honestly, I connect with his work in my studies. There are those composers that like you play because you have to. But whenever I would be assigned to play or to study Beethoven, that was the most fun for me, the most I feel like I have a connection to him. He died however long ago. But yeah, those five.
Awesome. And top five favorite musical theater shows.
Oh, don't do this.
Well, number one is Wicked, probably.
Number one is Wicked. I love The Last 5 Years. I love Fun Home. I love. Man, honestly, I love Bear. I love Next to Normal for so many reasons. And back on the Tom Kitt train, If Then, the music in If Then is some of the best. You can tell I'm very, very contemporary. Oh man, wow.
But those were five, six
That was
actually.
five? Oh, okay. Then we're good. I did it.
Jeffrey, thank you so much for coming over. It's been amazing. I wish you the best with this show. I know it's going to be great, and I cannot wait for what the future will bring for you and for this show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. And I would just like to add, you know, while we're on a platform such as this, just to anyone listening, be kind. I feel that there's, you know, so much going on in the world right now, in, you know, almost every aspect. And we're working and we're trying to make it better. But I think that a lot of it, you know, just be kind, treat each other nicely. I'd love to see some more kindness in the world, but, yeah, just wanted to add that while we have people listening.
Of course.
But thank you so much for having me on. Honestly, so honored and humbled when you reached out. I was like, me, because I had heard of your podcast before. I knew others you've talked to, and I was like, me. You know, what have I done? Like, why do you want to talk to me?
Well, why not? You're taking a show off Broadway. You've written a couple musicals, so that's nice.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate it. And it's been so lovely meeting you and chatting with you. And hopefully we can, you know, hang out when you're in the city.
Of course. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this new episode of Backstage Talk. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Backstage Talk Podcast.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.